everyone. You can sit. I don't know how I ended up here. I think about 6 months ago, I began to go to this type of meeting there at HQ where Andre always also is. And I think we laugh for one another's silly jokes. We've got a sense of humor that we find funny, other people not always. And I realized this, especially in December, I went to Shofar Armonis to preach, actually a week before you were there. And I gave them one of my best jokes, and they just said like this. And I thought, okay, Lord, from now on, I'm going to focus on preaching the word. I think that is my gifting. But thanks for having me here, Andre. It's amazing to be here. Sonika and Uk Via, and you guys are a real blessing. I just walked into their home and took over. I just felt at home. And thanks for taking me in. I mean, I love it here. And also praying this morning with you guys at intercession before church. It really feels like home. Let me just pray for myself. Father, I want to thank you just for every heart here this morning. You know, Lord, every person. Scripture says that you not only know them, but you formed them. You assembled them in the way that they should be, Lord. So that they are designed in such a way that with their heart, with their body, with their abilities, they've got the best chance they have to glorify the name of Jesus here on earth. You've designed everyone well for your purpose. The scripture even says, Lord, in Ephesians 2, that we are your workmanship. You assembled us. And Lord, and so I pray for every heart, Lord, that they will click, Lord, and link with you exactly, Lord, what the purpose is for their life, Lord, and they will accept it, Lord Jesus. This morning, I pray that you will open eyes and hearts and that you will release something here in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about captivating your community. I love exploring new areas for God and seeing lives change. And part of us being in Secunda, my wife and I, we went there in 2013, in the beginning, and it's kind of also writing the story of my ministry. I'm trying to discover more and more, why do people come to faith? And how do we need to pray for people, approach people? How do we need to do church so that people actually come to Jesus? That's what I'm trying to figure out of my life. And I've got some stories I want to share with you guys, and I hope I get to the message as well. But let me just start. When I went to Secunda in 2013, I got the news that I must go there in May, the month of May 2012. Back then, I was doing the Ironman here in your town, and I was skinny. I was 78 kilograms. And when they said, no, you can go to Secunda, pray about it, immediately I heard God said, no, I must go and play rugby to just reach the community. But the only problem is I was this thin. So I started like an animal, eating meat, drinking shakes, eggs in the gym, and I picked up 26 kilograms. To go back onto the rugby field so that I won't get broken. And that was 4 years. After 4 years, I went back. And this is my first experience in Secunda, because I went on the field for practice before my furniture arrived with the lorry. Okay, I was on the field when my wife phoned. I left my phone with a coach to say, no, the truck just arrived. And I said, please excuse me. Because I was just there like that, because God gave me a mission. So the first evening, as we were playing, you know, everyone got around, arrived. There was this one guy. I've got a photo of him. Maybe you want to go to that first photo, Janice, if you don't mind, of a guy running. His name is Quiz. That's him. And he was the leader. Okay. He was making jokes, but it's not the jokes you repeat in church or in any conversation for that matter. And so when the practice started, everyone came together and now we're going to pray. Okay. But now I was switched on, because now as this guy is making jokes, I'm just scanning who's laughing, who thinks this is funny, who's concerned. And my spirit is just awake at that time. I've got a book there in my car. I'm trying to capture as many names as I can so that when I go back in my car, I can write those names down so I can pray for them as time goes on. First practice, I got 25 names. in my book. I started praying for those. Any case, got into a little circle, and now we're praying. And guess who's praying? Quiz. He's the one cracking all the jokes, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And so he kicks off, Lord, like your word says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, may we do all things unto your glory. And my mouth goes open. I'm like, how does this work? And I just realized this is a different community. This guy prays like he's living for God, but on the field it's the opposite. And I say, Lord, I've got my work cut out for me here in this place. So I looked onto his arm and there's a tattoo. I think it was Philippians 4:13. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ. I'm like, for jou gaan ek kry. And so in 1 week, 1 week after that, I get him in the gym. Now he's working. It's also putting a different kind of stuff in his veins at that time, steroids and stuff. And I go to him, it's like, I see this scripture on your arm. Now I play absolutely stupid. I'm like, I can do all things through Christ. Well, you must be a believer. I'm sure you follow Christ. I just thought, I mean, you put the tattoo on your arm, not me. So I'm going to chat to you about it. And so he says, yo, you know what? There was a time when I wanted to follow God, but I'm not sure if he wants me back. That evening, there was a bride at his house. My wife was in Cape Town for a wedding. So I said, he invited me, and I said, yes, I'll come. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen there, but let me go. One guy picked me up, took me to the bride, and it was a rough bride. The guy who picked me up was not able to drive me back home. And so he was the host, and he offered to take me home. And in the car, I just asked him, I basically told him, you've got a beautiful wife and a beautiful son. And he just opened up. He said, I'm about to lose my marriage. And 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, and God gave me the first heart. People are ready to be saved. I'm telling you that. People are ready. People are hungry. If we have our eyes open, amazing things will happen. What actually just happened a month, 2 months before that, is that his wife left him because he was unfaithful. In the same time, his little boy came home and told him that a family member touched him inappropriately, his little son, this size. He found him in a bathroom and he beat the guy up, of course, beat him up into the hospital, and the police was looking for him. And so God came and just changed his life around. There's many stories like that. And in this journey, I've been asking God over and over and over, Lord, why do people come to you? What is the keys we need in our hands to be ready? Because what I know is people, they are hungry. Amen? Let me get back to my sermon before I tell too much stories. For God so loved the world. Read this like you've never read it before. Read this like you don't know this. That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God had not sent his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world. And people love the darkness rather than the light. Let me tell you what, we are living in a very special time. In this world with all the evil, I don't want to go into it too much. There's a lot of evil happening in this world. God knows about it. God has patience so that more people might come to him. But when he comes back, the window is over. It is done. No more lives can change. No more hearts can come. No more broken families can heal. When he comes back, he is back at this time. He's giving us the chance amidst evil, amidst difficult situations, to be the light so that lives may come to you. Isn't that amazing? This is a time of opportunity. Never again, after Christ come back, will you suffer wrong for doing right. Never again. Never again will you have the opportunity to remain faithful when others are unfaithful. It's only at this time. When he comes back, all evil will be gone. You have the opportunity to have a warrior heart at this time only. This church has got great possibilities in this town, at this time. As evil abounds, greater the light can shine. And I want to encourage you guys this morning. If we can go to slide number 5, I'm just skipping a few. This thing changed my life. I'm just laying a bit of a foundation. And I want to get to 4 things that we believe in Secunda. I just want to give something from our hearts to you. And I can't wait, Andre, having you over so that you can do the same for us. But basically, we went together on a camp, a bunch of our leaders, and a lot of people came to Christ. I don't know, maybe you're a young believer here today, or maybe you're new here. Welcome here. I'm glad you're here. This is a good place. This is my first time as well, so if you feel you don't know a lot of people, I'm with you. But this is a great family, because you know one when you walk in through the door. Amen. We went on a camp, a bunch of our leaders, and we wrote down the names of people that gave their hearts to God. Okay, especially that had relationship with us. We had 10, 20 names on the board, I'm not sure. And we recorded the stories. It's like, okay, first guy, why did he come to church? Oh, he knew that guy, and we started to write. And then they were at the CrossFit or something and wrote it down, da da da. Oh, this one came to physio where Estelle was working. We recorded the stories of people that came to God with one mission, to discover why do people come to Christ, or how is God using us? So, because if we know what we're doing right, we can focus on it. By accident, I mean, even a broken clock is correct 2 times a day, right? But what if we can get into tune with what God is doing? We can be so more effective. And I want to end up by giving you 4 things we've learned about reaching people for God. Just laying a foundation quickly. This thing changed my life. This, as a pastor, is a thing that shows you more or less your church environment, okay? Number 5 is the community. Those are people that's not here, all right? But you bump into them. You see them at the spar or at the spur or at the school. They are your community. They are within your reach, but they're not yet within a church, all right? If a person is in another congregation serving God, they're not the community. Are you with me? Number 4, these are people that maybe you are here for the first time. Like, I want to experience, I've heard something about this church, someone invited me. I am here because I'm invited. Maybe you're not sure why you're here. God knows why you're here. You're part of the crowd. You don't have a lot of responsibilities, but you're a guest, and it's so awesome to have you here. All right? Well, from being in the crowd, maybe you feel, hey, this is my home. I want to make this place my congregation. Many great churches and there's many great families, but this is my family. This, maybe you plant yourself here. I'm gonna give generously in this church. I'm gonna give my time to this church. I'm gonna pray for all other churches and that God does amazing things. But this is where I'm gonna go to life group and to intercession. Can you see the flow there? The congregation. Then we've got the committed. These are not people that only attend and whose hearts are planted here, but it's also those who give their hands for service. Typically, the people running the service, they're here an hour before the time. Every life group leader, I would put in that group, they feel a sense of responsibility. Can you see how we want to move people? We want to move hearts into maturity. And then we've got the core, which is Andre, his wife, and his closest leaders, which I'm not sure those are. What is the hardest part for us to reach? What is the hardest movement? 5 to 4, 4 to 3, what would you guys say? 5 to 4. It's the greatest challenge. If we go to the next slide, this is just what Shofar offers. Amazing church when it comes to building disciples. I believe it with all my heart. If you are, maybe you moved here and you're from another church, let me tell you what, you'll grow further here in this house. Promise you that. These are just a few things, and Andre especially has got a lot of tricks and a lot of amazing ideas. I'm sure he can bump my list up some more. But these are all things that mostly takes the congregation into maturity. Lead them. Bold them. Amazing. We must have this. Without this, we are not being faithful in the part of the Great Commission where we raise people up to send them out. But this is not our problem. We should not lose focus on this. Our problem is getting more people to hear the word so that we may. Do you agree with me this morning? All right. So number five is our challenge. Now, let me just read a piece of scripture and then I'm going to give you the four P's of evangelism that we discovered in Secunda. And I hope it means something to you personally. Is that okay? Can we do that this morning? Right. As Jesus passed on from there, this is Jesus showing us how to engage a community. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Excuse me. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." I'm going to go fast. Number one, first P of evangelism is pursue friendship. Straight up. Pursue friendship. I want to show you this. Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew, and then he said, "Coming for dinner." And he reclined at his house. Jesus moved very quickly from "I see you" to "I'm going to sit with you." In Luke, we see Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus and he says, "Hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house." And so we've got this saying in our church and it's helping us. We say, get someone around the table. It doesn't matter if they know God well, don't know Him at all, doesn't matter where they're from. Just get them to sit. Just get them in your space. Just create an opportunity to be with them. That is the first step. Just be in their space. Give God an opportunity for what can happen after that. Amen? 1 Peter 4 says, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards." Why am I talking about hospitality? Let's just go to the next slide. We've got a definition there. It's the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. It's also the same meaning as warmth, welcome, kindness. Isn't that like almost describing Jesus? So when I came to Secunda, I thought, it's easy for me to preach a sermon to the 20 people that's there. What's harder is to go out and connect the community. And so what I wanted to do was to radically pursue friendships with people on the rugby field. Radically. And to host them into my presence. What I did one evening, very sneaky, I am very sneaky, is we're playing in a rugby game at Nigel. Okay, it's Valfekoek Palaces. Okay. Yes, I also thought that was funny. I come from Cape Town, Nigel, Orkney, all these places. I thought it's only on the TV, but apparently it's real. So we're playing in Nigel, and this one person, God just draws my attention to this one man. His name is Nils. Oh, him and his wife are doing such amazing work now. And I realize he's married, or he's got children, because the coach has got his phone, because I think his wife can go into labor any moment or something. He's on the rugby fields. And so we're playing in Nigel the Friday evening. And I say, "Nils," basically first conversation I have with him, "why don't you drive with me? Because then after the game, we can come back very quickly. And so if your wife needs to go to the hospital, I'm sure you want to be there. Maybe you just drive with me. And if we have to leave in the middle of the game, we can also do that." No, 100%. I'm just getting him into my car. That's all I'm doing. I'm just setting up an ambush. I want to spend time with him. I want to host him. Okay, so I pick him up. I meet his wife, and she's very happy that he drives with me. I stop at the nearest garage. I eat a cold drink and a chocolate, and I just hang with him. Just get into my space. On the road back, always happens with rugby. After a match, and we have stuff to talk about, and there was guys doing the whole shower thing. Now the hearts are open. Coming back, he just opens his heart. And suddenly, he just said, "Now I'll see you in church Sunday." And he came, gave his heart to the Lord, never turned back. Just get them into your space. Create an opportunity to be a blessing to another person. And some people think to reach someone for God, you must be like very weird, and because you see people making altar calls, and that's part of it. But I'll tell you what, the hosts bring the more people into the kingdom than anyone else. The people that bakes cake and cookies, they make people happy. And so conversation starts and hearts are opened. Pursue friendship. Very important. Pursue it. Follow after it. And the Word became flesh and He dwelled among us. And we have seen His glory. Christ became flesh. The mens geraak. And He dwelled. He stayed. He spent time. And so be open for God to do miracles through you in someone's life, and pray for them, especially in your inner room. War and prophesy, but also, yes, vlees. Be with them and care for them and love them. You will open hearts. Number one, pursue friendship. We do this crazy intentional. Crazy, crazy. We literally budget a capacity in our lives to make new friends. We have to. I just want to say on a pastoral note that maybe the topic of friendship is very, it's a very touchy one for you, because maybe you've been hurt in the past. And you know what? It is true. The people we love most are those that has the opportunity to hurt us. Isn't that true? But Scripture says, it's better if a friend is honest with you and rebukes you than if a stranger gives you false compliments. Surround yourself with people who really love you, who have the liberty to speak into your life, to talk to you about your marriage, to have an opinion on how you talk to your wife. Those are very, very touchy subjects, but have those people around you. Also, as you grow, pursue those friendships as well. Get the people that really loves you very close and give them, be vulnerable enough. They will have the ability to hurt you. It's okay. Give them the opportunity to be very close and honest with you. The longer I serve God, the more thankful I am to real friendships in my life. Amen? Grow those. Pursue friendship. Never stop doing that. Just an interesting thing, what I've picked up with, for you, it's your workplace, and that's why I'm on the rugby fields, because it's easy working with the Christians the whole time. I needed my sassel, okay, my workplace, my place where no one has respect for me. I don't have a special parking. It's my community to engage. What I've picked up is two coffees with someone, and then they want to come to church. Those two coffees, firstly, I just want to say thanks for what you're bringing on the field. You really, there's something in you. I just encourage them. Just chat. No altar call around the coffee table. Just chat. Encourage them. How's it going with your wife? The second one, gua. Open. Just, we're really struggling. And then God has just accelerated the relationship. There's a lot of work to be done sometimes before a heart is open. Sometimes years. Sometimes months, sometimes weeks. It starts with this. Let them sit around the table. Get to know you. Amen? Can you do that? Number two, you are going to need prophetic eyes. As Jesus passed, I'm working back in that scripture the whole time. As he passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew. I'm there again. And he said, "Follow me." And he rose and followed. And Jesus reclined at the table of the house, believed that many tax collectors and sinners came. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Here's the thing. You need prophetic eyes, not to prophesy every time you see them over them. All right? Do that as well, but especially in your inner room. But to see not who they are, but who they will be in Christ, you need that ability. You need to, when you see them, see the hope that is resting on their life. You need to see something that their family have neglected to see for years. You need to see the opposite that their boss have seen, that have broken them down week after week. Someone needs to come and see. When I sit with Matthew, he will change. And he will do amazing things. Someone needs to be that person. It needs to be us. It's not going to be the world. Something in their spirits is waiting for someone to come and impart hope. Jesus did not see a sinner. He saw a disciple that was waiting to be released. And he called him into his calling. Who remember a guy in the Bible called Nathanael? Nathanael, the Bible, okay? He also had a bald head. And so he was saying bad things about Christ. Can anything good come from Nazareth? I'm sure not. When Christ saw him, what did he say? What was the first thing he said? He said, an Israelite with a pure heart, man with no deceit. It's the opposite of what he was just saying. Christ saw, he looked prophetically. Peter, you are rock. Yeah, right. Not very rock-like a few days after when Christ gets crucified and he's not there. But he was rock. Christ saw even further ahead when he was filled with the Spirit. He was a rock. Amen? Saul that became Paul. Got saved. Everyone ran away. One man said, this is exciting. Who was that man? Barnabas, son of Encourager. I'm going to take this man. Something happened in his life. We need more Barnabas to see into people's life and impart hope. Amen? This is important with evangelism. People know what sin is. The Afrikaans culture, what do? We say, hey, sondig alweer. They know it. Everyone can say that, okay? Only the Holy Spirit can look prophetically and walk them out of their sin into Christ. It's our job. It's a difficult job, but if we know these things, we can do so much better. And I just also want to say this. Maybe I know I'm preaching to a lot of mature people today. Maybe you're a young believer. Maybe you are stuck in a rut. Let me tell you what. There's people in this church who will take your hand and will walk with you. And you will see your best years are still ahead of you. I just want to say that. I just feel I need to say that. Maybe you feel that you've been just a failure to yourself and in the eyes of other people. And you know what? Maybe that's true about your past. But there's people here who will look at you with eyes of Christ, who will believe in you. And yes, they will be honest with you, and everything they say will not be easy. But trust them. They are walking with you into your future. Amen? Andre, I'm sure you've heard about this because sometimes I think we listen to the same sources. But there's a story about a lady in Bible school. And what she did is it's not a show for Bible school, it's another Bible school. She records every prayer and prophecy that's prayed over other people in the Bible school. And one day they asked her, wow, why do you do this? Why do you record, you know, everything that's said about other people when they're prophesying? And this is what she answers. She says, so that I treat them not as they are, but as God sees them. And then I invite them into their destiny. Prophetic eyes. I'm going to see in you what no one else sees. And then I'm going to say it. When they don't know God, something's going to pop up. Trust me on this. I get guys around the table who only hears it at work, all the bad stuff at home. Then I sit them down and then I say, I realize on the rugby field, I see that you're actually a leader. Did you know that? Ja, my baas sê altyd vir my, ek moet my goed vat en loop. En no, there's something about you. And I can see you want to help the people. You are doing well. And I leave it there for day one. And I see them transform and their hearts being prepared for me to share Jesus with them. And I'm being sincere when I'm talking. You need prophetic eyes. Holy Spirit, who is this person? This is a good prayer to pray. It's a good prayer. Are you with me, everyone? This is helping. Let's go on. Number three, partnership is important in reaching your community, in changing lives and in evangelism. Partnership. And as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came. Why? Because an hour ago, Matthew met Jesus. I don't know when Matthew, by the Spirit, was awakened unto salvation. I don't know in the house at that moment whether Matthew is a follower of Christ or not. We're not privileged to that information. But here's what I know. He was smart enough to realize Jesus is going to be in my house and his disciples. And that means if I can get more people like me into the house, something can happen. There's a space of opportunity. And right now, I don't have the words. I don't know what I'm going to say to my friend that I'm concerned about. But what I know is that man is there. I'm going to invite them to come into the same space. And let's see what happens. And the same is still true for us for today. You know what? Sometimes you don't know what to say. Sometimes you're not sure if you even have the faith to deal with this person right now. Get them into the space of someone else. We are very intentional about this. Every time we bribe, we have an agenda. Every time. You know what we discovered in our town? In January, we have what we call a pancake evening. All right. The small groups makes pancakes and invites people. This year, they've got about, our record for church attendance, we're still growing, is 120 in a service. All right. We got 160 people at pancake evening. In houses, all right? So what we saw, sometimes church is a bridge too far. So what we do is we get people to sit in a space that's a bit more chilled so that we can look at them with prophetic eyes, befriend them, and care for them. Really love the people. And so we get people into our homes with pancakes, and we give them chops. Thank you for the chops last night. Marvelous. It was really awesome. Okay. Daai chops was so lekker, ek het amper viands ingesteel. One of the greatest fears in this world for people is to be alone. These people will reject me. My wife will reject me. I will have no one who cares for me. Until they come into a community, a simple thing like a pancake evening, like, these people care for me. I feel celebrated. What is going on there? The Holy Spirit is busy working because we are sitting across tables. You don't have a spiritual on and off button. He is in you. God is in you. And so when you are standing in the line, the grocery store, he is there. And praise the Lord, when you're eating chops, he's also there. Okay? But we build with this partnership thing. I know if I can show him this, it's not only I who care, but this whole community cares about them. Suddenly something shifts. And so as we wrote the stories down of those people on those camps day, we see the dots connect before they come to Christ. And then they met Varys there, and then they had this camp thing. And so we see the partnership thing. We can't put our finger on it 100%, but we know that there's power in numbers. We've picked it up. And we're trying to be intentional with that. Amen? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. And we're trying to make this love visible to people. So we want them into our space. Holy Spirit, help me to connect whoever the person is to the other believers in the church. Very important. So we have teams. We've got like a tag team system going. My friend will message me and say, hey, I'm bringing a new person to church or to the rugby club. Will you be ready to connect with him? So I know I'm going to help my friend in the process. When he brings his friend, I'm there to receive that person as well and to celebrate him as well. We work together the whole time. Works very well. I'm telling you, there's not a lot of celebration going on in this world today. People don't care anymore. Okay? So we must allow the Holy Spirit to do this through us. Well, I've got another question. Are you willing to pray for a person for a very long time and then your friend leads him to Christ? Okay? That's where your heart needs to be at. You just point people to faith. And if someone else take over the process, then you know you got this thing down. Very important. Awesome. Let me just say one thing on that before I move on and we get to the last one. Is when it comes to your gifts, let me just say this, you are gifted by God. Scripture is very clear. Each of you, you at least have one gift that is supernatural. And I think you've got more. All right? But it's all different. It works in different ways. And when it comes to taking the hand of your friend, there's one thing you need to get off the table, and that's competition. You need to remove yourself from that. And if it's in your heart, repent and wash yourself, because there's two things that's going to happen when you compete and compare. Number one, you're going to judge yourself as better as your friend, and you will be pride. Okay? And God's blessing is going to be removed from your life because you resist the pride. The other thing that can happen is you can judge your friend to be much better than you, and you will feel shame. And that paralyzes you as well. So when it comes to the gospel, the kingdom, and your small group, and the leaders, make sure you are the celebrator of the gifts of other people. Pray that they will do better than you. Just get it out of you, that competition, and get it out. You'll do very well. Amen? Number four, evangelism is progressive. I'm not saying someone is 10% saved. Just understand me here. All I'm saying is there's sometimes a journey until they are suddenly saved. Okay? All right? And it's true. We wrote these stories down. And we're growing in this, but we see this. Check this out. As Jesus reclined at the table of the house, I'm still in that scripture, many sinners came and they were reclining. I'm back to they're just sitting down for now. Just sit here. Just be here. There's someone at work, and the thing is, you want to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. The problem is they're ready for coffee now. Okay? But last week when you wanted to drink coffee, they said no. This week they said, can we go for coffee? I want to chat to you. Celebration. Okay? Progression. They moved from being closed to being open. Okay, they're not on the floor yet. They moved. They came near to here. Celebrate it and tell them, you know what? You took a brave step today. Sometimes at church we see people coming in and their lives change. We don't know the journeys that happened before that. If you have your eyes on one person, I'm telling you now, it's a long journey often before someone comes to the place of giving over. And you must be ready to walk that journey. There's power if we all do this. It might take 1 year, but in 1 year you'll double your church. Okay? There's no shortcuts here. It's prayer, it's relationship. The next picture is one of my best friends in Zakuna now. His name is Rudy. I thought at rugby one day he's speaking in tongues, and I just realized he was saying words that I've forgotten in my life as a believer. So we used to hang around in the parking lot after rugby. I'm the last one to leave because I want to hear the parking lot is the place. So I'm like hanging in the parking lot, pretending like I'm just typing on my phone, but I'm listening to all the stories. I've got in my car with a window down a bit, just listening. And so I picked up a very important person in Rudy's life. It's called depression. And I heard it more than once in the parking lot. And I realized, but this thing is starting to get him down. And I wanted to ask him for coffee, but God sometimes just helps us. He just helps me and gives me hope. So he came to me just before I wanted to go to him. And he said, can we go for coffee? That was just amazing when that happens. If you pray for one person for 6 months every day and they want to drink coffee with you, I'm telling you, you're ready to have a party. Because it's slow step sometimes. Sometimes it goes very fast. Sometimes I'm just clueless. I'm praying for this guy and then this guy gets saved behind my back and I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to take this as well. And you know what? We've got a thing at our church. I don't want to go into that, but we do an accountability group where we sit with one another once a week. We read scripture, same pieces, and then compare notes just to get us into the Word. And he was very scared of church, but he found a safe person in me. And so I said, forget about church. Can we sit once a week over lunch and compare our notes from scripture? And he agreed to that. And so what I needed to do at that moment is to realize that church is a bridge too far for him because of past hurts, but he wanted a relationship, so I took that. He progressed when he was sitting and discussing scripture with me. Third week, we're reading Mark 1 verse 8. I baptize in water, he baptized in the Spirit. Now he asks me, what is this? He read it for himself, he's asking me, and I'm explaining to him the Holy Spirit wants to do amazing things in his life. His life's changed. Week 4, he came to church, one of my leaders now. Sometimes there's a journey and you must be able to gauge. Where is this person? Are they very scared? Don't invite them to church for the 20th time. That's why they're ignoring you. Invite them to your home. They will come. Or show up at their home with something nice to eat. It helps. Chops. Okay. Andre will braai it. He's very good. And then you can just take it. Get them to recline. Get them to be in your space. Show them that you care about them. This is slow, but this is effective. Are you with me, guys? Holy Spirit, help me to celebrate my friend in every step he takes. The hardest part is to get the community to come near to meet our great Lord. And so we're very creative. And so now we've got these three columns. And then the one is church with all the stuff. And then on the other side, we draw a little man. And we say, God, what happens in the life for someone to come all the way to meet you and to grow? And what we've seen is, in the beginning, there's just a relationship. We know of one another. And then in the middle, we can't define it, but there's something happens and this relationship accelerates. You become friends. You sit around the table. Maybe you do something like an accountability group. But from that place, from becoming good friends, where you can look with prophetic eyes, where you can celebrate how they progress, where you can maybe introduce them to one or other friends as well. From that place, sometimes heart opens. I need Jesus in my life. Sometimes a very long road. We get one of my friends in Sukuna gets a rugby player to come and talk at church, a well-known guy. 18 visitors shows up. We send our whole church out in the week. We're only 100. We're sending 100 people out. If we can get one conversation each person that week, that means we are ministering to 100 people. By teaching them to go out, because we get and we pay a lot of money to get people here and then 10 new people show up. No, we teach them to go. They will come as God leads. And you know what we also do? I'll just say this. We'll straight up tell someone, listen, it's your first time here. Also visit that church and that church. They are my friend. And then decide, but when you decide, plant yourself. You're doing this for the kingdom. And God is just blessing us. You guys are going to do amazing work. I know it. I just felt something for you in my heart. It's my last slide. I want to read it and just pray it over you. Yeah, there's just your four P's. If we can just quickly show that, if you maybe missed one. We're learning. Maybe it develops around this, we're planning our calendar and stuff. We're making sure we're not too busy so that we can get to these things. This is something I want to share with you guys from our heart. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing to East London. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed.